Okay, welcome everybody to this evening's PeopleYouSshouldMeet.com teleseminar called How to Increase Your Marketplace Visibility. My name is Damian Sen and it's a great pleasure to welcome you all on this evening's call. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Nancy Mamalejo. But before I do that, I just want to take a few moments up front to let you know how this call will work this evening. Now, we're going to be on the line for around about an hour this evening. And over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Nancy a whole series of different questions on our topic of marketplace visibility. And some of these questions will be my own personal questions, but the vast majority of the questions will actually come from the questions that were submitted by people when they were signing up for the call. Now, I may actually ask your question specifically, but if I don't, please do listen out for it in the questions of others, because we did have a lot of themes that came through and you may actually find that your question is answered, even though not directly. Now, just to let you know a little bit about Nancy. Now, Nancy and I, we actually became friends on Facebook, which is quite interesting because it's going to be a key feature of this call. And Nancy dropped me a line and just said, hey, how are you going, Damien? I see that you're friends with Michael Port. Just thought it'd be great to connect. And from that really bubbly, bright introduction, I got back to Nancy and just like looked at her website and loved all the stuff that she was doing and felt really inspired to invite her on one of our People You Should Meet calls. Now, Nancy herself is an award-winning business owner and recognised expert in business and creativity. Her speciality is raising the visibility level of entrepreneurs so they can market themselves as recognised, credible experts. Nancy has shared expert commentary with numerous media outlets, including SmartMoney.com, Latina Magazine, Univision TV, Redbook, the Fresno Business Journal, the Orange County Register, Orange Coast Magazine, Sempre.
Oh, it's in Spanish. You can skip that one.
Okay, that's a bit of a mouthful. Latino Perspectives, the Arizona Republic, and many more. Known for her creative and spirited style, Nancy also publishes an award-winning e-zine, hosts a podcast, writes articles for websites and magazines, and is also the author of two popular blogs. So without further ado, it's my very great pleasure to welcome to the call Nancy Mamalejo. How are you doing there, Nancy?
I'm doing great, Damien. Hello, and hi to everybody. I know that the listeners are coming from all over the place, so hello.
It is like one of the real beauties of the online world and this interconnected world that we live in. Literally, people have signed up on the call from all over the place, so it's a great pleasure to have everyone here this evening. Now, Nancy, I'm just going to kick you off right at the top and just ask you, how did you actually become a PR, media, and social networking strategist?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My dad had a retail for the most part, and all us kids had to go to work for him. We didn't have much of a choice. And so I grew up really watching how he got attention for his business. And he had a flea market. I don't know if you guys know what a flea market is.
Yeah.
Flea markets in the UK. So those are kind of, you know, colorful, I'll just call them colorful characters, you know, all over the flea market. So it was a little bit like kind of, you know, growing up in a circus at times. So there was a lot of eccentricities, and you could get away with some pretty outrageous promotions to get people into the, to get them down to the flea market. So I grew up pretty much witnessing that. And years later, I went into business for myself. I was doing a lot of business coaching for startups, and then began to get recognized for my work. And one of the ways that I got recognized for my work is I realized at an early stage in my business that you need to get the word out about who you are and what you're doing and how you're helping people. And I would send out, you know, press releases and contact people in the media, and oftentimes to no avail, but ultimately it started to pay off. There was a fabulous article that was written about me in a large Southern California newspaper a couple of years ago, and that triggered a wave of attention. And soon I found myself just navigating in the world of PR, media, realizing that I brought a lot of it with me just from my upbringing, and just sort of a natural sense of marketing. and finding a way, like, how can I stay visible without being pushy or obnoxious or seeming like an opportunist? How can I keep it authentic and keep people interested in following me and finding out what I'm doing? So that became a big focus for me. I launched Viva Visibility last year in 2007, where I just decided, you know, I'm not going to do sort of the general business coaching anymore with this side focus on social networking and PR and media. I'm just going to create a whole business around it. So that happened last year, and it's been great, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I love social networking. I wrote a book about setting yourself up on MySpace about a year and a half ago, and I've been an avid social networker for a few years, and I just am always finding ways and spotting the trends in how entrepreneurs can get more visibility for themselves inexpensively and effectively, and also in a way that serves the audience as much as it serves the entrepreneur.
Excellent. And Nancy, I could definitely relate to your story about the coaches kicking off their businesses, because like when I was starting out 4 years ago with my own coaching business, I literally did everything I thought was right. I built the website, I bought the new telephone, had the new PC, and was ready, sitting there waiting for phone calls to come in, and the phone didn't actually ring at all. So I very quickly realized that actually getting out there in the world and communicating and building relationships and building a following is a critical part of being successful in this new world.
Yes, for sure.
Now, I just had a question there, Nancy, with your father's flea market, actually. Did he have any strategies that were absolutely foolproof for drawing people in?
The flea market wedding, that was the ultimate. He staged events. The janitor and his girlfriend found themselves in, you know, what we call the family way. And this was back in the 80s, so, you know, he was like, yeah. They were going to run off to, to get married somewhere in Nevada. And then my dad said, hey, why don't we have the wedding here? And I'll pay for it. I'll get everything for you. And he got all these different businesses in town to chip in. Somebody donated the dress. Somebody donated a honeymoon. Somebody donated the beer. Somebody donated the food, and all happened, and then they called the media and created this fabulous alliance of local businesses and got on the front page of the local newspaper. And it was just, you know, the bride and groom were so happy. They had this fabulous little wedding. I mean, mind you, it was at a flea market, but I mean, you know, a guy with one of those beer can hats in the background. But, you know, besides him, I tell people it was a cross between Little Miss Sunshine and The Apprentice growing up at the flea market. But just watching the way that he leveraged, and that's, I think, probably one of the most important things that people need to remember. It's you hear it from everybody, leverage, leverage, leverage. But really what that means is, how can you get the most return on your effort in a way that is so fun that it doesn't feel like you're working and it doesn't feel like you're trying to coerce somebody to do something to your advantage. So it's really that's probably one of my favorite stories.
It's a great story. And the other thing I liked that you said, Nancy, as well, was when you set out as well, like, you just really felt like you had a natural sense for marketing. And one of the things that I look out for with the work that I do with clients is for those real natural strengths and how to cultivate them and how to bring that out. And I was just wondering how you actually help clients to sort of acknowledge and recognize their core talents and abilities, and then how do you then actually help them to express that more fully?
Well, I do a very, very thorough inventory with my clients about what their strength is, and I actually take it down even to a deeper level to find more of that sense of purpose, that sense of mission. I use the word finding your medicine, and medicine not in a way like you're going to the pharmacy and buying aspirin, but I can more of like in a Native American context. It's a like that spiritual gift inside of you, that specialness, whether it's that the ability to make other people laugh or to comfort them or to give them hope or to let them see new possibilities, all different talents that you have, that's part of your medicine. And so I really like to work with my clients, first of all, to find that deep, deep core, because I feel that that's the essence. Then we start looking around at some of their strengths and natural inclinations and begin looking at their current brand and are these aligned. So I probably spend half of my time working with clients really checking for congruence and alignment. If you have, like, let's say you have a brand that's really fun and splashy, yet your personality is very serious and almost scholarly, they don't mix. And people get confused when they see that. So we really work on that alignment. And then the next thing we do is we start identifying there's two aspects, actually. The target market, which is sort of that broader demographic of, you know, if you were to look for your ideal clients, more or less, where would they be hanging out? And then inside that target market, we find the ideal client. And the ideal client is that person that you just, it's that favorite client, that person that you love working with, who it's so easy working with them, and they never complain about your prices, and they love to refer people, and they can't wait to find out what your next service or program or product is going to be. And so we work it from that angle, just starting with that medicine and arcing it around to that ideal client. So ultimately, your marketing is just you're having a conversation with your ideal client. And you also have to accept the fact that not everybody's going to be your ideal client, and some people are not going to be attracted to it. And what I've been told is that a great brand attracts and repulses with equal strength. So the people who get it are going to get it and stick. And for the people who don't, you know, that's okay if they aren't there with you. But I find when you have that focus, it makes your marketing so much easier because you're not trying to please all these different people, like, ooh, I better not write that because what if they don't like it, or what if they don't get that joke, or, you know, all these different things. And that's essential for crafting a market visibility plan.
I think that's very, very powerful, the whole concept of polarization. And I remember when I actually first learnt about this in my own business, when I first thought about it, it did sort of put me on edge, actually, because there's a part of me that would love to just keep every single person happy that I come into contact with, and just realizing that that is an absolute impossible mission to do in life, and really getting clear about who you are, and then just being able to articulate that as clearly as possible. The people that you're put on the planet to serve will come forward, and the people that you aren't here to serve will literally take a step back. So, I really love the whole notion of attraction and repulsion, and how it's a very necessary part of being able to do powerful work.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that it takes a lot of fortitude to be able to release the people who are not your ideal clients. You don't have to serve everybody, and I think that's one of the things. When we're talking about visibility, and I know that some of the people who had signed up for this call had sent in some questions just around that whole concept of being visible and some of the self-consciousness that comes up. When you release the people who are not your ideal audience, that becomes less and less of an issue.
Excellent. Now, Nancy, I was just wondering if you were someone who's always thrived in the limelight, or is it something that you've had to cultivate?
I'm the youngest of 6 kids, and so maybe I had to speak up to get noticed. Otherwise, you know, the whole family drives home, and then they get home and they go, now something's not right. Let's do a head count. Oh, my gosh, there's only 5 kids. So I think when you come from a really big family, you have to definitely step up. But I don't know. I think I'm one of those persons who I like to I'm not a super, super, super extrovert. Like, I have to be around lots and lots of people. But I really, really like making connections with people. And as long as I could feel that sense of intimacy, whether it's speaking in front of a group, but I feel a connection with the audience, or if it's speaking one-on-one, it's that same feeling. It's just about making connections. So I don't think you have to be a flaming extrovert to look at visibility, because you actually have a lot of control over what visibility is. For some people, it's all about being in the limelight and just, you know, attention every second. And other people, they might want to be more of a reclusive blogger, but their blog is getting enormous amounts of traffic, and that's their style of visibility.
That's a really important distinction. So visibility literally can be tailored around someone's own personal nature and how they like to work.
You get to decide the level and the definition of what visibility means for you. And, you know, the word visibility, it refers to the sense of vision and seeing somebody. So maybe people think very literally, like suddenly they're going to be in a fishbowl or there's going to be a magnifying glass on them at all times. And really what it is it's not so much about you. This is where I go back to that concept of the medicine and that message that you carry. It's really about your message more than it is about you. You're the messenger. You're the vehicle.
That's really, really powerful. And I was just wondering, as well, Nancy, with your clients, have you seen any radical transformations when all these different facets have come into alignment, from getting really focused on the target market, the ideal client, being really connected with your message? What sort of transformations have you seen in your own personal client base?
Oh, it's been incredible. In fact, I just got off the phone with a client right before this call who... she wanted to become more visible. Yeah, that was her whole thing. And she was already well-known, an author, been on TV, you know, very well-known in her field. And something wasn't right, though. Something wasn't working. And the more I talked to her, I started to find those areas where it just wasn't aligned. Her brand and her personality and her style, everything was just scattered. And so we worked on tightening things up. And when we started to pull everything together and make it more consistent, we focused her brand, we focused her messages, we just pulled everything in, and it was interesting because we hit this major milestone of our work together and, you know, this big accomplishment, and a week later she was invited onto this large national television network in Europe and has been getting some pretty major media attention. And sometimes I feel like you have to setting that intention. Maybe that was the power of it, but it came so quickly, and her message became so much more clear. Other people, everybody says they want to be on Oprah. So, you know, here in the U.S., it's like it's all about everybody wants to be on Oprah. Okay, you know, who doesn't want to be on Oprah? There are more people to try to pitch than Oprah because there's only, you know, millions of people pitching Oprah every day. So I sometimes encourage clients to look at a secondary market. Maybe there's a secondary market you could just totally dominate. Why are you, you know, going to compete with millions of people to get on Oprah when you can compete with hundreds of people to rise to the top of a secondary market? So one of my clients was all gung-ho about getting on Oprah, and then she started to tell me a little bit more about herself, and there was a certain demographic that she also had sort of like this secondary market. And I said, well, your secondary market, actually, you could rise to the top of it really, really quickly. And so we started talking about that, and it was such a wise move for her. She realized that she could make that transition. So everybody's story is a little bit different, but a lot of times it just has to do with the focus of where you want to be, and then it becomes so much easier to find those open doors. Because the doors are open all over the place. The media, they want and they need experts desperately. There's so many shows and programs out there. They need to fill it with content. And, you know, there's a lot of them are, you know, these 24-hour cable stations and all these things. They're really looking for people. So getting really focused, you can find those doors that are open. They are there waiting for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I often think that with the media, actually, just that constant pressure of coming up with interesting, intriguing content. It must be such a challenge to fulfill the obligation of, whether it's having a newspaper full of information or a magazine that's full of interesting stuff or radio programs.
They're constantly,
it's that constant ongoing demand.
Yeah, they're constantly looking for content. And it might be, you know, they might be talking about the same topic they talked about last week, but they want a new spin on it. So that's the other part of visibility, is being able to stand out as a unique voice in your field. I know a couple people sent in questions about that. You know, that's really, really important, to just be memorable.
And another thing that I like about what you do, Nancy, as well, is actually becoming your own media station in a way, with sharing videos on YouTube or recording your own podcasts. And I was just wondering if you could give a little bit of insight for people who may not have explored that avenue yet to how they can become their own media station.
Oh, this is great. And it's not something that just because you have a camera, you therefore are a media star. There is some thought that needs to go behind it. But, yes, you can use online video right now. It's a fabulous tool, and I'd like people to just, you know, if you have a piece of paper, just jot down some of these ideas. Think about how you can leverage online video. First of all, the search engines love it. So they're finding video. Now, to find the video, it has to be optimized. So there's keywords involved, and we're not going to go into exactly how to do that. There are other resources for it. But just know that in order for your video to get indexed, you want to have some good keywords. And these are just the same way you would put keywords on your web pages and things of that nature. So you've got maybe it's on a specific topic. Like I made a series of 5 tips on how to use Facebook because everybody wanted to, people kept asking me how to use Facebook and social networking. So I made 5 tips. If people want to watch them, you go to the address is www.youtube, everybody knows YouTube, youtube.com/user/viva, V-I-V-A, and then the word visibility, which is spelled V-I-S-I-B-I-L-I-T-Y, .com, youtube.com/user/viva visibility, and that's our YouTube channel. And we've, you know, put up videos and have a whole new series coming up right now that's going to be about how to do online video. But you can just see 2-minute snippet tips. That's it. I mean, it's not like you're putting on a 30-minute show, but just some real quick directed tips. And you could put links back to your website and let people know how they can get a hold of you. Lead with good information. You know, think about aesthetics. Don't just sit in front of a webcam with your messy office in the background. You know, plan it so it looks good. You know, comb your hair, brush your teeth, put on some nice clothes, things like that. But it's an extremely important marketing tool right now because people share videos. The players, the HTML is embedded in them, so you could just with a click, you could put them on your blog. You could send them to somebody in email. So it's a really, really phenomenal tool to use right now. And also, if you present yourself in a very professional way, you can use it as, let's say, an example for the media to see how articulate you are, how poised you are, you know, just your ability to answer questions, and basically like your demo reel for showing them, like, hey, I'm a good expert. I know how to be on TV, you know, I speak clearly, all of those things.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And the other thing I like about video as well is that you instantly get a feeling of where that person is coming from. And for people that use other forms of marketing, such as article writing, even though, like, I believe article writing is a very, very powerful way to share value and get noticed, it does take a lot longer for people to actually get a real sense of who you are and where you're coming from. But with video, it's just so instant. People literally within seconds will have a feel about who you are and where you're coming from and whether they're interested in what you have to say.
Yeah, and I actually have a program where I work with clients. It's called the Media Ready Intensive, and we train clients how to show up on camera. We also train them about, you know, what to do when you get home. Like, do you have to depend on us to make awesome video? And we show them, no, you don't. We're going to teach you how to do it back at your, you know, your own place. You know, working with them on optimizing it and just understanding how to create the content, how to deliver it, how often you should deliver it, what to do with it next, and more importantly, how to leverage it so that it does attract the media or joint venture partners or any, you know, prospective clients, anyone who can help to build your business to where you want it to be.
Excellent. That sounds great. Now, Nancy, I'm going to start dipping into the questions that came in through the site. I'm going to start off with just by saying that there were some excellent questions that did come in, and they all tended to be around 8 or 10 different themes. I'm just going to explore this first theme on visibility, and this question comes from Jivko in Bulgaria. And Jivko asks, an iceberg has 10% visibility. How do you show clients what they cannot see about us, skills, background, knowledge, and how can you attract them to use our services?
Oh, wow. That's good. I like that. So you're talking about not being super, I guess you're talking really about the subtleties, which would include your branding. And your, you know, your branding is going to have a lot to do with it. So, you know, think about what are the visual messages that are being conveyed? What are the messages in the titles that you use, in the style? I'll use my business as an example. My business is called Viva Visibility. My logo flashes on and off like a Las Vegas marquee. The navigation bar looks like you're driving down the Vegas Strip. My mastermind group is called the Mastermind Lounge. And it's funny because I've never actually been to Las Vegas.
Really?
And I don't drink and I don't gamble, but I just really like that whole concept, and it was fun for me, and I like the word Viva, and so.
It's good. It's real high energy. I love the visuals on your website.
Thank you. And so it's yeah, energy. So it's fiery, it's energetic, and I have a lot of fun with it. So people are going to look at that. And people who like fiery energy, lots of fun, they're going to say, wow, I love this. And once again, people who don't, they're going to say, oop, not for me, I can't handle that. That's fine. Go off. There's plenty of other people doing PR and media and social networking. So those are some of the ways that, like, you know, I don't necessarily have to conk you over the head and tell you, boom, this is, you know, hi, look at me, I'm energetic. You can get a feel for that from the visuals and the titles. And if you go to my blog, I love my blog. I just had it redone. It's vivavisibilityblog.com, vivavisibilityblog.com. And, you know, I bring in, you know, just the titles of my blog posts. I have a lot of social networking pieces that are integrated with my blog. You can see that. You can eavesdrop on me while I'm talking to people on Twitter and get a feel for the types of conversations I have, which tend to be mostly about food and children. I don't know why, but there, you know, that's about relationship building, which is another topic we'll touch on. So really, it's just all those peripheral things that people they're not focusing straight on it, but it is definitely influencing them, and communicating a message.
Yeah. And one thing I do really like about all your stuff, Nancy, as well, is just the consistency from your website to the blog to the intros and outros on your podcast to the intros and outros on your videos. They've all got a very similar feel. They all have a really consistent brand imaging. And I suppose, like, looking at you in all the different contexts, someone can get a real sense, okay, this is something that's solid, it's credible, it's consistent. And I was just wondering, for people who are using lots of different mediums, how can they get that consistency for themselves?
Well, you know, the consistency, like I said, it's from the visuals to even the style of the way that you create your titles. I've had clients come to me, and they have this really fun side, and then they have this really deep spiritual side, and they always feel conflicted. And it comes out looking inconsistent, because here's something fun and silly, and then here's something really serious and spiritual. And so we try to find where they overlap. Sometimes it's just creating a whole new paradigm. Like, well, who says you can't be fun and spiritual at the same time? So for a lot of people, it's a matter of stepping out of what you know, the fears of what are other people going to think, and really finding that brand that is really authentic to you, because your voice is going to be representing that brand as well. And when I say your voice, I mean the voice that you write in, the voice that you use in all of your communications. This needs to be consistent. And this will also, let's say you're pitching the media, it also lends credibility in, because they're going to see that consistency. If they see you all over the board and you're scattered, it doesn't do much for your credibility, or they might think, well, I'm not really sure what that person's going to be an expert on, so I'm just going to skip over to the next person. So it really helps with precision and clarity.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Excellent. Now, I've got a question from Su Ling in the UK, and Su Ling wanted to know, how can I increase my marketplace visibility while not encouraging competition?
Oh, like everybody's going to copy you because you just
exactly
more visible?
Exactly. Like, say if you have great ideas and then you're out there and you're as visible as you can be, and then the prospects of imitation may come into the fold.
Boy, this is ending up being a call on branding, I think. This is, once again, it's just going back to you and the unique way that you put your information out there. There are other people who are coaches, but they're not doing it the way you're doing it, right, Damien? And there are other people who are doing PR and media and social networking strategizing, but they're not doing it exactly the way I'm doing it. And even if there's somebody who's doing it fun, I mean, unless they steal my logo and plagiarize my website, I'm not really concerned about it. And, you know, put on a wig and try to be me. I encourage it, because the more people who get out there and do what you're doing, the more it's letting you develop that unique voice of yours. And that unique voice is what's going to stand out. And I challenge everybody, go back to that concept of that medicine that you carry in you, that gift that you have to share with the world. What is it? How do you want to get it out there? And when you have a really strong feeling of what that is, that topples over most of the fears and just makes you get out there. Looking at those strengths, you know, are you funny? Are you serious? Are you sexy? Are you glamorous? Are you earthy? Are you sporty? Use those things to your advantage, and those are those little things that help you stand out from the rest.
That's a great answer. I think one of my favorite quotes is that imitation is one of the finest forms of flattery. So just getting out there and doing something really well, and just be really in your own power with it. Like, that's really all you can really do.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. Okay, so we're going to just move on to go a bit deeper into social networking. And we've got a question from Becky in the US. And Becky asks, with the variety of social media available and knowing a combination of these tools may be most effective, how do you advise scheduling use of them to best advantage for the time invested?
Becky, awesome question. Thank you. And so social networking is, for everybody who's just listening, you know, these are sites like Facebook and Twitter, maybe MySpace, LinkedIn. The idea, when people first start looking at them, they think, oh, my gosh, I am so overwhelmed. I'm going to have to be on all of those sites. I have to log in. As soon as I log into Facebook, I'm going to go have to log into MySpace, and I'm going to have to go log into Twitter, and this is too much work. I can't stand it. Well, a lot of really cool things have happened recently that all people need to take advantage of for social networking. And it is the beauty of integration. So I always advise people, you might want to start off, let's say, with a Facebook profile. So you open up a Facebook profile, and the whole secret to Facebook is staying active on it. It's not just setting up a profile, friending a million people, and then, you know, waiting for them all to come and ask you for your business. The first 30 days of going on Facebook, you probably want to put some effort into it, you know, making some friends, writing on their wall, because all of these things go up in what's called the feed. All right, the feed is like this little newswire that runs on everybody's pages, and it shows you, you know, Damien just wrote on Nancy's wall, and Damien just posted a photo, and Damien just commented on Michael Port's blog. I mean, all of these different things will show up. So every time you update your status, like, oh, I'm on a teleseminar with Damien Sen, I mean, those things will all come up in the feed. Okay, so you have Facebook, you want to set that up. And then what you want to do is go to your blog and connect your blog to Facebook. You go to the notes section, and in the notes section, which is a standard application that comes with all of the Facebook, when you sign up for Facebook, you do something called import notes, and you give the RSS feed of your blog. Please don't ask me to explain any of that. But I'm just telling you, like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just write it down and find someone who speaks the language and ask them to translate. But you want to get the RSS feed of your blog and import it to your Facebook notes. Every single time you update your blog, it's going to pop up on your Facebook profile, and it's going to pop up in that feed. Becky just posted a blog. Becky just imported a note. So that's all going to come up. And then the next thing you want to do is sign up for Twitter. Twitter's a microblog. You have 140 characters. Just say what you have to say, basically answering the question, what are you doing now? Go to my Viva Visibility YouTube channel and watch the video, Much Ado About Twitter. It gives you basically the rundown on what Twitter's all about and how to use it and how not to use it. So youtube.com/user/Viva Visibility. There's a lot of social networking tips there. Twitter, there's an application on Facebook called Twitter. So every time you go on Twitter and you update and just say, you know, I'm sitting here on the phone, not only does it go out on Twitter, but it also updates your Facebook status. So once again, we're on that feed, and it's saying, you know, whatever you're doing right now. So it's saying it on Twitter. It's saying it on Facebook. So that saves an enormous amount of time. And you can also get a plug-in for your blog. You have to go to my blog and see how this works, vivavisibilityblog.com. Go to my blog and check out how it works and how the Twitter, the tweets, we like to call them, are imported into the blog. So all these different places, it's showing up. And I'll tell you, there are a whole bunch of other sites that do this. I mean, that's just three places you could do it. You could import Twitter onto MySpace. You could import Twitter onto Plaxo. You could import it onto LinkedIn. Look at all the different social networking sites and see where they're plugged in. And all you have to do every day is write a blog post and update your Twitter status, and it will automatically update it on all those other sites. So that's how you can be in 10 places at once. And there are a couple more steps to it and a couple more sites that allow you to leverage it even more, but I don't have enough time to go into all of that. But people can definitely come visit my blog, subscribe to the RSS feed, because there's a lot of information, and I actually have an article on there that's called How to Be in 10 Places at Once with social networking.
And I can certainly vouch for that working in practice in my own business as well. But with these peopleyoushouldmeet.com calls, the very next day after a call, we'll place a post on the People You Should Meet blog, and have a link to the actual MP3 download page. And with the notes section in Facebook, that automatically gets pulled in and then distributed through my friends' network. So often I have friends just saying, look, I really loved it, last night's call, thanks for posting it. And literally they hadn't signed up for the call or they didn't know about the call, but just purely because the blog was, or the RSS feed was pulled into Facebook, that became known and people had the opportunity to connect with that material.
Yeah,
so
you want
really,
your stuff,
really good stuff, Nancy.
You want your stuff out there. You want people to be passing around and sharing it. And, yeah, so let other people do your marketing for you. That is probably one of the smartest visibility tips I can give you. And so when we're talking about leverage, that's really what it's all about. Create content that's so compelling that people will want to share it. And it doesn't always have to be your content. It could be other people's content. So if you go to my blog, vivavisibilityblog.com, after each blog post, there's an option, and it says share this. And you can click, let's say you have a MySpace page, you can actually click MySpace, and it will share that blog post. And people appreciate you giving other people's information as much as your own. It's not just all about you. So if you go to my blog, maybe you'll see a blog post that you want to, you know, see how this works. You could make that your Twitter update, and then it updates all these other sites at the same time, and people will look at you as a credible source of information.
Excellent. Great. And because it is such a new environment, this whole online arena and the social networking arena, are there some really easy to follow do's and don'ts for people that are completely new to social networking?
Yes. I'm going to direct people once again to the YouTube channel. because I have a series of five tips that talks exactly about what you're saying right now. It's youtube.com/user/Viva Visibility. And, you know, I want to save time for more of the questions, but really that's the fastest way people could get the do's and don'ts. In a nutshell, you're going to focus on relationship building, but in the different videos, I outline exactly how to do it, from how to ask for a friend request to, you know, commenting on other people's profiles.
Okay, excellent. That's great stuff. Now I'm going to move into just building an expert profile, and I've got a question from Helene in Canada. And Helene wanted to know, how do you present yourself as an expert when you're just starting out in your field?
That's a fabulous question, and one of the best things you can start to do is to get endorsements from people, start collecting testimonials. Even if you're so brand new that you don't even have any clients, get some volunteer clients. Give your services away for free and say, look, I'm going to give you my service. You know, maybe you're a coach, and I'm going to give you, you know, we're going to do three coaching sessions in exchange. What I want from you is a testimonial on the results that you achieved. Are you willing to do that? And they'll say yes. And you make it real structured. You say, okay, it's going to be three. You know, we're going to do this. I'm going to give you a little before assessment. I'm going to give you an after assessment. And then you're going to write something for me. We're going to record and chart your results. So you start creating case studies and testimonials. And that's probably one of the best places to start, because what you want to do is build your credibility. And once they see that you have credibility and that you've got some actual real people who you've helped, that definitely helps to attract more attention.
Great. And have you got any case studies of clients who've actually done that? Maybe not mentioning their specific names, but how they've literally got up and running fast with that kind of approach.
Me? How about that? And that was advised.
That's great. Yeah.
I was advised to do this, and actually, when I was training as a coach, I was advised to do that. It was a great idea, and you know, just it's just a matter of really using. Let's say it's your first year in business. Your main goal is to build credibility, and it might not. Maybe you know you might not make as much money as you wanted to, but that building that credibility is going to. It's going to do a lot of good things for you down the road.
Excellent. Cool. Now I've got a question from Alison in South Africa, and this is on the whole continuation of the theme of getting TV and radio exposure. And Alison asks, I have identified that exposure through TV and radio appearances and public speaking are most productive for my business. The challenge is getting them. And I was just wondering if you could give Alison some quick tips on how to actually just getting directly with decision makers in those kind of media outlets?
Well, first thing is to be crystal clear on what it is that you're an expert at. Understand who your target audience is. Start researching the media that serves that audience. And then you pay attention to them. Here's a trick that I recommend. I don't know if a lot of people know about it, but a lot of people don't. You could actually cash in on other people's target market research. Let's say you've identified a target market that you want to work with. And I don't know what Allison's specific market is, but I don't know. Let's say her market is health and fitness. I don't know. Allison, that might be completely wrong, but for some reason I'm saying health and fitness. All right. So, and maybe it's women. Health and fitness, and women over 35 years old. So maybe Allison wants to start looking around to see, okay, well, what are the programs that are already in existence that are lifestyle-type programs for women, magazines, websites, health and fitness magazines, health and fitness websites, TV shows, programs, podcasts, blogs, all of those different things. You start targeting them, getting really, really specific. If it's a magazine, you can go to their website and look for what's called their media kit. And the media kit is such an absolute treasure. It's their target market research, which they probably paid a lot of money to have done. And it's showing all these different breakdowns as far as that whole demographic is concerned. Their from everything from financial information to what worries them and what are their biggest concerns in life, what are their life situations. And you start studying that and you realize, maybe I can create some tips around this. And then you basically want to position yourself, not that you want to pitch the media as the star, you want to be on their cover, you want them to do a whole article about you. You just pitch yourself as a useful source of information. The way that a journalist would go to a website trying to find a quote, you can just say, look, I can give you some quotes on that. I can give you 3 tips really easy. So you start by doing that research, and then you get in there and you make those connections with people. There are a lot of different ways to do it. I don't think we have time on this call, but it's really about relationship building. You might want to look on your social networking contacts to see how many people are, you know, maybe high profile or maybe they're affiliated somehow with the media, and not to start hitting them up with pitches right away, but just, you know, make friends with them, to watch what they're doing, to admire their work, to let them know, and you know, look at building the relationship. Because then when you might want to pitch a story or pitch an idea or pitch yourself as a resource, it's a little bit more of a warm lead than it is just you banging the door of a magazine and trying to get on it.
Mm. Now, with on the tip side of things, Nancy, that's one thing I really love about your work as well. Like, you are very, very clear in the way that you deliver your expertise to market. So just, for example, with your mini course that you have for free to download on the site, like, it's 7 quick and simple tips. Or in your podcast, there's always 5 tips to do this or 3 tips to do that. I was just wondering if you could share some insights in terms of helping people chunk down the expertise that they have in their head into bite-sized pieces that literally anyone can understand and feel like they can apply.
Pay attention to the questions that you're in social networking sites. Like, have I not been asked that question a million times? I then came up with my tips. Well, here they are, and here's 5 ways you can do it. So I pay attention to what people are always asking me. Even things like, you know, I feel self-conscious about being more visible. And then I can come out and I can actually do probably a whole class on that. And I've incorporated some different things into my private coaching that address those issues. And I can also come up with articles on it too. So really pay attention to what people are asking you for. And every single question is an article in and of itself. If you go for, like, you know, a body of work, like if I were to sit here and try to talk everything I know about social networking, we'd have to have this, you know, marathon series of calls. So rather, I'm going to give you just like a little bit of information, you know, and some resources.
Yeah. That's one thing I found as well with the delivery of information, sometimes with my clients, and I've certainly done this myself, where I've just tried to deliver far too much information to people, and literally, with limited attention spans these days, people just can't take on masses and masses of information. So just having the ability to just chunk down and just deliver one thought, one idea, just on a topic, can actually be more useful often than writing a thesis, just delivering all your expertise as well.
It's huge. I ended up having to create a teleclass that's going to run August 5th, 7th, 12th, and 14th. And it's about getting free publicity and attracting clients with social networking, because I figured I have to do one class on attracting clients, I have to do one class on getting free publicity, I'm going to do one class on social networking, and then the final session is a Q&A. And I realized I'm getting asked these questions so many times, I just took all the information, I compiled it into a big workbook, and planning this teleclass, and just, you know, figured I'll share the information that way.
Excellent. Well, Nancy, we're literally coming up to the end of the hour, so I just wanted to take this opportunity. Like, you just mentioned the tele classes there, but there's no doubt people on this call that would love to work with you further and deepen their knowledge of social networking and getting visible and really using some of your tips and techniques at a much deeper level. And I was just wondering if you could share all the different ways that people can actually continue their journey with you.
Sure. Well, if people would like to just start off sort of free and easy, You can go to vivavisibility.com, and there's a free 7-part audio course, and it's fun, and it's free, so how can you go wrong? And it's 7 quick and simple tips to stand out and sizzle as a sought-after recognized expert. So for those of you who all those questions about self-consciousness or competition or finding your voice and all of that, those questions are answered in that course. So I always recommend people start off there. If you're interested in finding out a little bit more about delving deeper into it, if let's say you're already in business, you're already fairly established, and you're looking to leverage the free publicity angle of it, there is a class coming up. And I'll give the exact web address. It's vivavisibility.com, V-I-V-A. Visibility is visibility.com/expertclass, and then the number 2.html. So it's vivavisibility.com/expertclass, all lowercase letters, and then the number 2. It's important you put the number 2 or else you might go to the web page of last year's class, expertclass2.html. And that class is going to be, there's 3 classes. There's a Q&A session. It's August 5th, 7th, 12th, and 14th. And I'm really excited about it because it answers the questions that people have been asking. We're going to go deeply into this whole concept of the ideal client. It's very, very important you understand who you're crafting your message for. Otherwise, you don't really know who it is. You know, well, where am I going to be visible? I know people who are they're really visible, absolutely no business out of it. And it's because maybe they went on TV, but they went on a TV show that their target market never even watches. So, okay, that was great. The second class is all about social networking, and I'm just going to give my tips. It's not necessarily a tutorial on how to set up a Facebook page. It's how to leverage your existing social networking presence. So I encourage people to just, you know, get those profiles up and then come to me and we'll talk about how to get it out there. And then the third class is about free publicity and how to build those relationships and how to leverage it and what free publicity really means. It's not just about getting in the media. It's about getting anybody other than yourself to promote your business for you. So it might be joint ventures, it might be writing articles, it might be appearing on other people's teleseminars. There are an enormous number of things that you can do to become more visible. And then the fourth session is a Q&A. So if, you know, you're like, you have a little question, you just bring it to the Q&A. And so that's right. vivavisibility.com/expertclass2.html.
Excellent. And what kind of business owners are you seeing being drawn to your teleclasses, Nancy?
I get people who are, you know, I have my fair share of coaches and consultants. I also have people who are, you know, what I call sort of like creative thinkers and thought leaders in various fields. So they might come from arts and culture, or they, you know, even a retail. But I think for the most part, people who consider themselves content area experts. So you might be a, you know, I've had doctors and dermatologists and tax people and psychics and coaches and financial planners. But what they all had in common was the fact that they were experts in something, and they all had that burning desire to get that strong message of theirs out there for other people to hear.
Excellent. That's very inspiring. Now, Nancy, we're coming up to the end of the hour, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to say a very big thank you for sharing all your wisdom and expertise this evening. I've been furiously taking down notes myself and have taken away a couple of gems that I'm going to actually go away and apply to my business straight away. And I'm sure that people on the call will be in a similar situation. So I just wanted to really acknowledge you for giving so freely of your time and energy this evening.
I have been this has been so much fun to be able to share this. And I want to thank everybody who sent in the questions. They were very thoughtful. And even though we didn't get to every single question, I have them all and I'm looking at them. If anybody wants to contact me with any other questions, please, you can go to the website, vivavisibility.com, and there's a contact. You just click contact, and those messages go straight to me. They don't go through some, you know, secretary 100 miles away. They go straight to me. So just that's the best way to contact me is through that form on the website. And while you're there, sign up for the free audio course, and it'll be, you know, we'll just be happy to help you out with the information that I have.
Excellent. And for people on this call who would love to listen to it again, it will be made available for free on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com recordings page. And it should be up there first thing tomorrow morning. Okay, one final one for you, Nancy. I was just wondering if you had any final words of advice for people looking to increase their marketplace visibility.
Don't be afraid. And be creative. You know, it's really about you have a message to share with people. It is a beautiful, divine message that people need to hear. It's medicine that's going to help other people. And let that be your guiding force. And let that energy and that inspiration fuel you to stand up into the spotlight. And remember, it's not always about you. It's really about your message. And you are the lucky person who gets to carry it out to the world.
Well, fine words. Thank you, Nancy, and thank you once again, everyone, for your full participation. And we look forward to having you all on a call very soon.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Thanks, Nancy.
Bye.